and welcome to another edition of Animates. I'm Jo Van Cool, and today I'm going to be talking to the CEO of CAF's Care Farm, a Mr. Joy, who is involved with a new kind of farm where children who have traumas of one kind or another go to visit to sort themselves out a little bit. It sounds like a wonderful idea, and I know you'll be very interested. Good afternoon, Mr. Joy. Lovely to talk to you. You're the CEO of CAFS, and we want to learn all about it. Where did you get the idea for a farm such as CAFS from?
Well, the idea came from a whole range of sources. Initially, I spoke to some of my staff, and they were very keen to develop an equine-assisted learning program, so that was the first influence. Secondly, in 2015, we commemorated 150 years of operations, and when we looked at our background, it showed that the organisation had a very strong history of farming and gardening. For example, the orphanage won 24 prizes at the 1964 Ballarat Show for its dairy cows, and in the 60s, we donated a bull to India. And in the 1960s, the organisation owned about four properties, and we believe that working in the farm environment and helping in the gardens, etc., taught kids a lot of lessons, but also provided the foundations for a successful life for many.
What a wonderful thing, and especially to find a farm that had so much potential.
Yes, indeed it does, but look, there were other influences as well, if I may. One of my board members gave me a book about neuroplasticity, which is all about how people can change their brains and the functioning of their brains through various interventions. We put that towards thinking about the farm, and also I received a book about the benefits of exercise and how exercise can improve academic performance of children who were involved in it. And lastly, I think I was lucky enough to go on a research trip overseas to the UK and the Republic of Ireland, looking at various models of what they call care farms overseas. So I saw lots of care farms. Some were small, some were big, some were residential, some were day visits, and some had 5 days of attendance in a row. And they had all different types of clients, all different sorts of animals and gardens and orchards. They all had passionate staff, and they all had some commercial aspects to it. So put all those together, we went further down the path of trying to set up a farm for ourselves, but a key part of it was actually looking for new ways to do things, because the number of kids coming into care is going up, the number of notifications to child protection is going up, so we wanted to try and introduce some different approaches, and one that we became aware of is what's called a neurodevelopmentally respectful approach to informed interventions. And we have a psychologist who's studying in this area. She won our staff scholarship, and she's studied how to look at how a child's brain developed, and then you can look at targeted interventions based on that assessment.
That's amazing, really. And you're very lucky to have a good psychologist on staff.
Oh, yeah. We are indeed. The interesting thing is there that she won our staff scholarship. So we have a staff scholarship to try and encourage people to do things. Our psychologist won the scholarship, went and studied this neurodevelopmental approach, and now we're able to put that into practice in our therapeutic farm we're developing. Should also add that somewhere along the way, a couple of my staff brought some therapy dogs to work. And then after I got back from the overseas trip, a property came on the market and we had a good look at that. Ticked most of the boxes based on the overseas research. It's a beautiful, quiet place, and that's an important part of the concept.
Yeah, it sounds marvellous. So is it a live-in situation, yours?
No, it's not. It's not live-in. No one will actually live on the site. It's not residential care, but kids may come for a day at a time, or they may come for a couple of days, or for a week from Monday to Friday, or perhaps a weekend. One of the models that I looked at overseas was in fact called Jamie's Farm. A number of children would arrive on a Monday morning with their teachers. They'd stay from Monday to Friday. They'd be involved in all sorts of activities, as well as therapeutic interventions. They'd get jobs around the farm, could be collecting the eggs or doing something with the cattle. And then they'd leave on a Friday. And at the end of that period, their attendance and attitude at school was better They were no longer in danger of being expelled, and 100% of their teachers supported the effectiveness of the intervention.
I was just thinking the other thing that they used to do for people, kids who had difficulties, was put them in the outward bound movement. But this sounds much more gentle and encouraging.
Well, it's actually a really structured approach. We start off with a psychological assessment, which tells us where an individual child is at. The importance of that is that you can have two children who may be the same chronological age, which might be 12, but developmentally they could be years apart. So with the benefit of a psychological assessment, you can target the interventions based on the chronological age of the child you're working with.
So young people come for up to 5 days or a week or whatever, but normally they'd come for a day or maybe 2 days. This must all cost quite a bit. How are you funded?
Well, we've purchased a farm from within our own resources, but we certainly will be seeking community and philanthropic support down the track. We'll also be seeking to implement some fee-for-service options. Where children are in the care of the state, there may be opportunities for fee-for-service. Where children who are struggling at school, there may be opportunities for the school to support the programs that we aim to offer.
And I bet the children want to come back whenever they can.
Oh, I'm sure they do. In fact, all my staff want to go and work at the farm because they see it as such an exciting concept.
So what were the advantages of relocating some of the programs to Springmount?
Well, the point about Springmount is it's a stunning environment. It's physically beautiful, has great views, great infrastructure. It's got a whole lot of things there already, but the environment itself is a key part in the concept. If you go to a place of great beauty, it puts you in a frame of mind where you are more receptive to interventions. And for a lot of the kids that we deal with, because of the backgrounds they come from, they will not have been to a place quite like that.
Do you find that the kids who come, who, as you say, have come from rather different backgrounds, do you find that when they go back to wherever it is they came from, that they retain the attitudes that they've developed while being at the farm?
Well, that's certainly what we're aiming for, but it's probably even a bit more complicated than that. So when children are exposed to adverse experiences, such as domestic violence or abuse or chaos or poverty, that affects the development of their brains. And the consequences of that include problems with learning, emotional problems, making friends and relating to others. But until they develop that part of their brain to accommodate those things, they cannot advance because the brain develops in a sequence. So we have to have early interventions designed to heal trauma, and then they move on. So we're trying to develop the solid foundation in kids that has been missed because of the experiences they've been through. And until we do that, we can't move on. So, yes, we do hope that having been there, the children will become more resilient and will be able to develop in a more conventional way.
I'm sure it must have a profound impact. I can only think in my own experience of being on a farm, even an ordinary farm, you know, it was always a great experience.
Well, it's a great environment and it has lots of benefits. And we do believe, based on the research trip overseas and other things, that kids will relate to it. And we had an official opening of the farm in October, which is fairly recently. We had about 100 people invited for the official opening. And in the afternoon, 4,000 people turned up.
Whoa.
Which was amazing. That's pretty big for a regional centre. And we had the barn there was stocked full of animals for the day. We're not quite in operational mode yet, but we had animals brought in for the day, and it was just constantly packed. And the kids had so much to do in the environment. They could wander around, they could look at the chook shed, they could look at the gardens where we're going to have an orchard. There's other things there like a maze and a mini golf course and a chess set and lawns. So lots of activity, but just being in that environment, the kids loved it.
Can you give a specific example of how the farm has helped a young or a vulnerable person?
Yeah, well, our farm is going to receive clients from next year, But we have been running our equine-assisted learning program, and we do have lots of letters of thank you from teachers and children involved in that program. Assist kids to get to know themselves better and become more confident and more resilient and therefore better equipped to relate to their siblings and to others. They're better, their attitude towards education improves, and we increase their chances of doing well through involvement in those sorts of programs, which, as I say, provide sensory experiences, but also assist them to develop new skills, to build relationships, to tolerate frustration, etc.
And do you think your concept will be multiplied in Australia? Do you think other farmers will want to do it?
They may well. What we are going to do is monitor and measure what we're doing in conjunction with Federation University, so that we hope to be able to produce demonstrable outcomes for the intervention. So we're not just saying it's a good fun thing to do. We're saying it's a good fun thing to do, but it has a therapeutic base and it delivers these outcomes for these particular children who've had these life experiences.
Sounds like a marvellous thing to me. I think we might have to interview you again in about a year's time to see how it's going. It sounds wonderful.
Well, we're both excited about it and confident about it. What we believe we've put together is a unique model. Some places have farms and some places have the psychological assessments. Some have animal-assisted interventions and some are big on exercise and sensory things and art therapy. But we're putting it all together in the one place, and we don't think that anybody else is doing that. So it is very exciting.
It sounds exciting to me. I wish I was there.
Well, you're most welcome to come and see it at any point in time you can.
Well, I'd love to do that. But thank you so much for giving us a talk today. I know our listeners will be fascinated by all of this, and I look forward to hearing more about CAFS.
Thanks very much, Jo.
Thanks a lot. And that brings us to the end of another programme of Animates. We hope you've enjoyed this programme, and our thanks go to RPH Australia, of which 2RPH is a part, and to Joseph Sfrancer, who does the research, Katie Brooks, who does the technical side of things, and myself, Jo Van Cool, wishing you a happy time until our next programme of Animates.